candidate Bill Schein in the Massachusetts 1st District. Tell me, how goes the primary campaign?
Very well, Alan. Extraordinarily busy, as you might imagine.
Yep.
And it's a big district. I've met quite a lot of people over the last 7 months. And I think by now in the campaign, people understand when they look at the three candidates that one of these candidates is not like the others, and that's me. You know, I'm the one who's not a lifetime politician. I'm the one who has never raised any corporate or lobbyist money. I'm the one who's advancing, I think, some pretty bold ideas, particularly around fixing our democracy so that all voices are heard and the best ideas are not drowned out by big money. And also on climate change. I'm really one of the few congressional candidates across the country who has made that issue central and the need for massive, urgent action to avert real catastrophe. And that's what we've been doing across the district for 7 months now. And we're getting into the home stretch, and voters, I think, are beginning to really understand that they have a real choice this year that they haven't had in a long time.
We've been told by Richie Neal that there's a poll that shows him way out in front. Do you distrust that?
Well, I'd certainly love to see those numbers. Candidates always talk about how far ahead they are. But at the end of the day, you know, the question really is for voters in Western Mass, and not just here, but frankly across the country, for Democrats and independents mm-hmm. to decide is, you know, are we going to break the stranglehold of big money? I'm advancing ideas around public financing of elections. Congressman Neal doesn't support that. He, as you know, he raises virtually all of his money from corporate PACs and lobbyists. And I've made the case that that money, accepted by Democrats and Republicans now, you know, Democrats have taken more and more of that money over the last couple decades. And I believe that stands in the way of doing what Democrats need to do. I think it's the reason why we haven't done enough since the economic collapse to put people back to work. I think it's why we have wealth and income inequality in America that we haven't seen in almost 100 years. And I just don't think we can properly represent the interests of working people and do what's necessary, keep people in their homes on the foreclosure crisis, address what's necessary on climate change, fix our political system, if we are funded by those interests that I believe we need to be fighting against in Washington. It doesn't work. And I think most folks really understand that now more than ever. And this was a problem even before Citizens United. That's made it even worse.
There are obviously three people in this race. The assumption, I think, on the Nuciforo part is that he is the competitor with Richie Neal and that you are the sort of odd man out. What are his deficits, Nuciforo's?
Well, I'd characterize the race very differently, Alan. I think that, you know, as I said when we started talking, there's three candidates. One of us is not a career politician. One of us is offering a lot of ideas that the others never have and never will.
No. Bill, in all honesty, you said that already, and I appreciate that.
Yep.
But what is it that differentiates you from Nuciforo specifically?
Sure. Well, let's go through the list. When he was in the state Senate for 10 years, he raised lots of money from corporate interests, particularly from lobbyists. He had nothing to say about the problem of big money in politics. And he actually worked to undermine and then repeal the Clean Elections Law that we passed in 1998 at the ballot, where voters said we need to do something about this problem of money in politics. He made the wrong decision in the state Senate. He worked to undermine it. He voted to repeal it. Now he says in this election year, when he's running against Congressman Neal, who has an awful lot of corporate money, that we need to do something about it. And he had the opportunity to stand on the right side of that important progressive issue, and he didn't. He's been a candidate now for 3 years. He's just now starting to talk about some issues. I'm saying the same things in this race, Alan, that I have been saying and writing about for many years. I've been writing about corporate money in politics. I've been writing about corporate personhood. I've been writing about climate change. I've been writing about the unfairness in our economy and been an activist on these issues, on issues of war and peace, for quite a long time. And I'm saying precisely the same thing that I have for many years. I didn't craft some message just to fit the public mood. I think if voters want someone who is going to work on fixing our political system, they've got one choice out of the three.
Okay, what about John Oliver? Now, you and I have talked about this before, but Oliver is probably considered the most liberal man in the House of Representatives. And he has put his arm around Richie Neal and said basically there isn't a hair's breadth of difference between Richie Neal and me. Now, what do you make of that whole thing?
Well, I have great respect for Congressman Oliver. He is a real progressive in the Congress. He's a member of the Progressive Caucus, which Congressman Neal is not. I don't think anyone was surprised that he would endorse a good friend of his. They've known each other for 20 years. But I would dispute quite strongly that characterization of their record in the Congress.
Well, no, it's not my characterization. It's his. He
sure.
Said,
oh, yeah. I'm not surprised that someone who would endorse their friend would say that. But I think when you really take a look at the record, Alan, it's very clear they have very different priorities. And let me give you some examples. You know, first off, just when you look at some of the numbers, Congressman Oliver, over the last 12 years, has introduced 34 pieces of legislation. Congressman Neal has only co-sponsored 6 of those. When you look on some really big issues, on climate change, Congressman Oliver is a co-sponsor of the Save Our Climate Act, which would impose a carbon tax, which is what economists on the left and right agree is necessary. Congressman Neal is not a co-sponsor of that. Congressman Neal does not support public financing, and Congressman Oliver does. You know, there's a long, long list of issues. The priorities are very different. You can go and look at Congressman Oliver's monthly newsletter, which he has on his website, and you can see the different things that he's done each month just this year while I've been a candidate, and see which of the bills he signed on to, which of the letters he signed, which of the things he's done that Congressman Neal has not been a part of.
I don't want to be unfair, but are you saying that Oliver is either a prevaricator or a liar? Because, you know,
Goodness no, Alan. What I'm suggesting here is that they just have different priorities. I think what Congressman Oliver was referring to was when you look at things like a voting record, you can say, well, and I think that's what Congressman Neal has said, on the major issues, you know, we're the same. And that may be true.
That's not what he said, but I understand what you're saying. Go ahead.
Sure. And I think, you know, this is something I've talked about a great deal in the campaign, that I think voters, not just in Western Mass, but Democrats across the country, have to understand that a voting record is just what you have had a chance to vote on. And the effect of big money in politics in particular has been to drown out many of the ideas we need. Like, you know, you and I both support single-payer health care.
Sure.
And we know that did not see the light of day. So we need to ask, what kind of leadership is going to be provided by the next congressman from Western Massachusetts on these big issues? Who's going to get up and give the speeches about single-payer, about public financing? Who's going to work, you know, session after session to educate the public, to popularize ideas, to bring colleagues along on things like a carbon tax? You know, right on down the list.
Bill, you've made that point. I have 2 minutes more here. I want to ask you about endorsements. You know, organized labor seems to be pretty solidly behind Neal. Lots of other, you know, either fraternal organizations or police organizations or fire organizations seem to be behind Neal. You're a progressive. Those are progressive organizations. What about them?
Well, I think among the rank and file of all those groups, Alan, I'm going to do quite well. And I look forward in 2 years when I run for re-election to receiving their endorsements, particularly after they see what someone who is not constrained by fundraising that relies on a lot of the same money that Scott Brown raises, you know, Wall Street money, big bank money, that's well over 90% of the money that Congressman Neal raises. He attends fundraisers thrown for him by Wall Street lobbyists. I mean, this is critical. We can't have Democrats who are rubbing shoulders with those folks. We can't have Democrats, you know, as you know, I've said that I'm not going to be a corporate lobbyist after my service in the Congress. I won't be a paid lobbyist. 4 out of 5 members of Congress now do that, which is pretty remarkable. Congressman Neal has not been.
Plus, they get a pension.
They get a lot of things. That's right.
Right. And you know, a couple of terms in the Congress and you're set for life.
That's right. But they, you know, that's not enough. You know, most now become, you know, $1 million a year lobbyists. And we can't have members of Congress cashing in on their service. You know, I would urge everyone who aspires to serve in the Congress or wants to be reelected to make the pledge that I have, that they will never become a paid lobbyist.
Bill Shine, delightful to talk with you, neighbor, and we'll be coming back and you'll get yet another chance. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much, Alan.